soon will be Purim time. We'll have to soon take a break. Soon enough, we're going to have to take a break and start learning some real heavy-duty halacha for Purim. Dal Parshios Purim, then Pesach. So let's see how far we can get. Okay, page Samach Beis, halacha Mem Beis, Teshuvah, Tzorech Abodram. To do Teshuvah, to succeed in the doing Teshuvah, a person needs four things. So Echad, Sheyisnachem Al Kol Chet. Number one is regret. Number Al Kol Chet V'Chet, the Avon V'Ashma. Over here, Derech Agav, he describes different types. It's fine. Don't worry about it. It's fine. You can write in the Sfarim, Adarabba. Don't worry. You have a comment to write in the Sefer? Go right ahead. Okay. Hateshuvah Tzorech Abodavar Ma'echad Sheyisnachim Al Kol Chet V'Chet Ovoin V'Ashma. He describes three different types of sins. Chet, he says it for some reason twice. Okay, chet obviously generally refers to one that's done by accident, inadvertent sins. Avoin are things that are done b'mezid, but not out of rebellion. The ashma would appear to, in this context, to be sins that are done out of rebellion against Hashem. Habeis, second thing a person has to do is sheyazav oisam, he has to stop doing it. It's not just enough to abandon, have regret. If you're addicted, you can regret what you're doing while you're doing it. I don't want to do this. Person smokes. He knows it's killing him. But I just can't break the habit. I can't kick the habit. So you have to stop. You got to kick the habit. Gimel, sheyizvadeh b'liboy. You have to actually confess. You have to say the words, I am sorry. I regret. I made a mistake.
Gimel would mean silently, internally.
Internally. You have to express b'liboy. You don't have to actually say it out b'peh. Out b'peh. Okay, that's a chiddush because we had a discussion. We spent time on this. Is that the Rambam says that part of the ikar? He's saying a very good point. He says sheyisvade beliboy. You have to confess beliboy. Well, okay. Let's leave for now.
That means here in full heart.
With a full heart, to be sincere. You have to actually say the words. Yeah, words. Okay, you're saying a good point. What exactly are his gedarim in doing teshuva? You're right, I don't know. He's saying the word b'liboy. Why doesn't he say that he has to say it b'peh? Okay, let's see further. Number four. And you have to makabel b'lev sholem. It doesn't say over here in b'peh. You'll never do this again. Pen yidmek, if you don't accept upon yourself, you guarantee that you'll never repeat the aver again in the future. Pen yidmek l'tayvel v'sheretz b'yadoy. You're going into the mikvah and you're holding your hand in the sharet. She'ein ha'teshuvah mo'eles lo. The teshuvah's not going to help. Ad she'yashlech la'sharetz miyodi, until you abandon the sharets. Now, this we had a discussion. We spent a lot of time on this. Is that the Rambam says that a person has to, when you do teshuvah, you have to actually say the words. You have to say the words that you will never do this avera again. You must say those words. The problem is in the nusach ha'tfilah, we never say that. And all of the tefillos of the Yomim Noirohim, nowhere do we say we hereby accept upon ourselves that we will never ever do this Avera again. And according to the Rambam, you do not fulfill the mitzvah of Teshuvah until you say those words. So it's a pella. How could it be in the entire Nusach HaTefillah of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur and all the days of Slichos, you don't say that expression? So we discussed this at great length. We discussed this, all the different, the problem, all the different answers, and basically is we don't want to be liars, because we know good and well that we're not going to...
Moses Swarm says you also have to say, what stop gods am I going to enact in my own life to prevent myself from doing
it again?
Well?
Okay, so this is a big topic of discussion. If it's a condition, here he actually says the condition, he says it. He says it's one of the four conditions. Again, the first condition is to have regret. Number two is to kick the habit. Number three is you have to confess. You have to acknowledge. Do not live in a world of denial. I didn't do it. I never did it. What are you talking about?
You have to confess to that person or to yourself.
Well, it depends. If it's a naver ben adam lachavero, you have to confess that. That's a given. If it's naver ben adam lamakom, you have to fully acknowledge what you have done and you're guilty. You have to have regret. You have to kick the habit, and you have to acknowledge that you've done an avera. Don't make believe you didn't do an avera. Don't live in a world of make believe. to rationalize the reason why I did it so and so. And then number four is you have to accept upon yourself formally, I will never ever do this avera again. Rabbi Orlian pointed out that over here he does not say here the words bidpeh. According to the Rambam, these conditions. Oh, he goes on to say, you have to specify. You have to specify the chet shenemar. Ono choto ha'om hazeh chato'o gidoylo v'yasu lohem Elohei Zav. Moshe Rabbeinu, he comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he confessed on their behalf. V'chein yisvade ono Hashem choto si ovisi poshati lefonecha v'yosisi kach v'kach. You specify exactly what you did. V'harei nichamti, I have regret. U'boishti, I'm ashamed. Mima asai v'ani me'id olai here. He says, Mamash Referish, I testify by myself, Allah yodeh kol talumais. Shani goimer belibi sheloy oshuv oy laasois. Okay, he doesn't mince words. You have to say these words. I will never ever do this again. We don't say this nusach anywhere in our nusach atzvila, which is a wonder. How then do we fulfill the mitzvah of teshuva without saying this? V'cheng, since it's in the pasuk, Hashiveni Hashem Elokhav Noshuva V'yoshuva, Hashem bring me back to you and I will return, Ki ato Hashem Elokoi, Ki achere shuvi, Nichamdi, after I have done teshuva, I have returned, I have regret, V'yachere hivadi, after I have confessed, Sofakti al yorech, I have banged, I have clapped my hands on my thigh, Boishti, as an expression of regret, you hit yourself as an expression of regret. Boishti, I'm put to shame. V'gam nichlamti. I'm also different expression of shame. Ki nosasi cherpas nurai. I carry upon myself the sins of my youth. Some of the farshim says very interesting. Once I'm sure he has a very beautiful piece on this, and he basically says is that most of your life you're doing teshuva for the chatoim that you've done when you were young. When you're a young person, you don't think very much. You don't think. You just do. You don't think about that. And when the older you get, the more you realize you behave yourself. You whip yourself into shape, or your wife whips you into shape. And then what are you doing to shuva for the rest of your life? The bulk of the shuva you're doing is for what you've done when you were young.
Right.
Because when you get a little bit more seichel, you're very careful what you do. You don't do any major, major sins. Hopefully not. I mean, can't say, hopefully, halavai not. So what is a person doing teshuva most the rest of his life for? You're doing teshuva for the sins of your youth. And that's what it says in the pasuk, ki nosasi, I carry upon myself cherpas, the shame, ni'uroi, of my youth. What does that mean exactly? Interesting. Let's go further. Mem gimel asar v'yash avadram ha'yu banad. Now, he loves numbers. We found this so many, many times in the Sefer Chasidim. Lama nikru'u Talmidei Chachamim Seifrim. Why are Talmidei Chachamim called scribes? The word Seifer literally means a counter.
Right.
Counters. Because they like to put everything into numbers. They like to organize, to be very well organized, and categorize, make lists of different items. And he does this continuously, the Sefer Chasidim. Here we have another example. Esen V'yabod Dvarim. 24 things hayu menadin alehen es adam hein ish hein isha, a person we put into nidui. Now let's very carefully explain what nidui is in Tamei Chazal. Nidui, we like to translate it as you're excommunicated, which means that the rabbi gets up in shul and says no one is allowed to have anything to do with this person. Don't talk to him, don't give him an aliyah. He's not welcome in our community. He's not giving his wife a get. And therefore, no one should give him an aliyah. No one should do business with him. That's how it is. He's a nidu. He's a menuda. That's how it's used colloquially. But that's not what it means in the Gemara. In the Gemara, nidu means a curse. The Bezdin would come together and they would say, they would receive evidence, testimony. They would hear the other side. Maybe the person has a right to defend himself. You always have to have the other side of the story. I'm assuming the person also has a right to present his case in Beis Din. And Beis Din would hear the story. And Beis Din, if the person does not want to listen to Din, they would curse him. Nidui means a curse. The curse, and part of the curse is a curse min ha-shamayim. Shamayim is cursed. And also as a consequence, as a side effect, is no one is allowed to have anything to do with this person. Not to give him an aliyah, not to talk to him, not to do business, not to feed him, stay a mile away. the curse expires after 30 days. Stam nidui only goes for 30 days. After 30 days, it's business as usual. Okay, now, that does not take away the curse from heaven. Once the Chachamim have cursed him, he's cursed, unless he does teshuva. But as far as people not being permitted to have anything to do with him, it only lasts for 30 days. That's called a nidui. Then there's a shamta. A shamta is even a greater curse. And I think that goes on for a much longer period of time. That can even go even what? What does the Gemara say? Different types of curses. Some of them expire. Some of them expire. But it's a curse. People don't appreciate that. Oh, big deal. Okay, so fine. You know what? So what? All right, so you don't do business. I don't need your money anyway. I have my own clients. What? Yeah, but it's a formal curse. I don't know what they say. They had a nusach. I don't think we have a record of this. But they cursed him. That is what is really scary about a nidui. It's not so much people can't talk to you. Adarabba, I don't want anyone to bother me. I would love if I could turn off my cell phone. No one can call me and bother me and ask me for a donation. It would be a wonderful thing. That's not the main thing of the nidui. Is a curse. Besdin curses the person. Does it expire after 30 days? Sometimes yes, sometimes not. There are different types of curses. Nidui, Cherim, Shamta, on Rosh Hashanah, wherever Rosh Hashanah, when we say called Nidrei, when Mevatel, it's very significant. When Mevatel, Nidui, Shamta, and Cherim. You're not just being Mevatel, things that, Rachmanel Litzlan, if there's a complaint against a person in Shemayim, and there's a curse upon a person, you want that curse to be annulled. You want it to be taken away. A person should be successful. Okay. There's no difference, man and woman. No differentiation. No. Women aren't any better in this regard. Here we go. Number one. Hamevazeh Shaliach Bezdin. An agent of the court is sent on a mission. Don't shoot the messenger. Okay, if you shoot the messenger, then the one that shoots the messenger gets nidui. A person to speak, say something nasty about Talmidei Chachamim after they die, that's scary stuff. This week's parsha. You call your friend a slave. But next, if a person says, it's only a midrabanan to wash netilas yodayim before eating bread, it's only a midrabanan. Who cares about this? Okay, you know, to become a ger. One of the things, very, very common, one of the things that to become a ger is do you wash, they're very mapped on this. All the Bati Din, for some reason, appears in Gerus, across the board. Every Bezdin and Gerim, they have different standards, different requirements. But one thing that I've heard, all of the Bati Dinim are all very mapped on. They're mapped on Nitilas Yodayim. If a person wants to be a convert, and do you wash negel? Do you wash for bread? Huh? And if they'll tell them, do this, do that, they're not going to ask too many questions. Shabbos, of course, but they're not going to go drill you on all the lamentas melachas and go make. Some of them do today. There are all different types of batei dinim. But when the day is over, to become a ger, you don't have to be perfect. Okay, a lot of the batei dinim today, if you want to become a ger. You have to, your Kabbalah, I would never pass. I'm telling you, the average frum person, I'm not joking, the average frum person would never get in. It's a mitzvah. Okay, it's a mitzvah that the standards to become a ger are so high, Kabbalah's ha-mitzvahs, and no monkey business. Yeah, they ask that question, but they are very, very high standards. The last some Bati Dinim would not even allow someone to watch television. If you have a television in your home, they wouldn't take you. Wait, internet. If you don't have a filter, they don't accept you. They will not. But yet the Mitzvah says that 99% of Klal Yisrael have televisions, have internet without filters. Right? The answer is once you're in, you're in. If you got in by Matan Torah, good for you. But you want to get in now? You want to get in now? You're not getting in so easy. It's not a joke. It's the standards are very, 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 very high, very difficult.
It's like,
yeah.
It's like someone who wants to become a citizen.
Right.
They have to study the Constitution.
Exactly. Who knows the Constitution? Who knows what it says there?
Like a driver's test.
Exactly, it's mamish the way it is. So a person that's mizalzel, and one of the big things they all talk about zalzel is a very big problem. Washing, you learn a lot about a person. Do they wash? I'm not talking about Baruch Hashem amongst us, but people who are like they're shomer Shabbos, but they're from a certain element that's different. Do you wash the tilas yadayim for eating before you eat bread? And if a person, Rachmana Litzlan, he writes over here, Mezalzel b'dovar echad midivrei seifrim, according to Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, that is deserving of nidui. The Ein Tzarech Lamed goes without saying midivrei Torah. Next, Misha Sholchu loy bezin shluchim v'kavu loy zman v'loy bo. A misarev bedin, that's nidui, a person, loy tsoyes dina. If a bezin sends for a person to come to court, tsoyes ladina, and you don't show up today, they send three times, they send you a letter. They send a shliach and you don't show up to Beis Din, he's nidui, it's a curse. They write a document that this person is lo tsoyes dina, he does not, tsoyes means to listen. He does not listen to appear before a court of a Beis Din, and that gives the plaintiff the permission to go to a secular court. You're not allowed, this is parasha. Ve'ele ha-mishpatim asher tosim lifnehem v'loy lifnei our kois. It is categorically forbidden to go to a secular court. You are mechuyev to go into every issue. You have to go to a Jewish court. The only exception is if the person is lo tsoyes dina. He summons him three times. He does not show up. Then Bezin permits geretz you aksav. They permit you then to go sue a person in secular court. Or if Bezin themselves says that we are not qualified, we do not have power to succeed in judging this case, then Bezin gives you permission to go to a secular court. A person that does not do this, he goes first to a secular court, is in a lot of trouble. And he's over here today, it's a very big thing. Today people, they're loving to catch people on this. And if you don't first go get permission from a Jewish court to go to secular court, it becomes a very, very big problem.
A landlord-tenant problem.
Yeah. You have to first go to a Jewish court. If the Jewish court cannot decide, is not in a position to deal with it, then the Jewish court writes you a ksav permitting you to go to a secular court. But you have to go through the steps. You have to go a lot today. Today, the secular court has given Jewish courts enormous power. In fact, they give them too much power. And that's why many people, this is how we discuss this, that a lot of people today do not want to go to a Jewish court for one very simple reason. There's no appeal. The secular courts have given an official, there are many Jewish courts that are recognized. You have to get recognized. You have to know how to, you have to talk to your councilman to get your Jewish court recognized by the state. It's not so hard. Once the Jewish court is recognized by the state of New York or the city or the state, even the federal government, all different types of issues, is they give the Beis Din, it's basically a dispute resolution, they give the Beis Din enormous power where whatever the Beis Din says is now enforceable. If Beis Din says that you owe someone $1,000, the court can basically seize your bank accounts. They can repossess they can take away the $1,000 and give it to so and so. So what's so bad? What's so bad is you cannot file an appeal. I feel that the court's decision was corrupt. I feel that the evidence was not presented. There's new evidence. The government does not allow for appeals when it's done outside the state or the city. And it's done privately through a court or through a dispute resolution service that they recognize. So if you're dealing with $1 million at Din Torah, and you go to a Beis Din, and the Beis Din paskins that you're guilty, you have to pay $1 million, that's it, you're done. You got to pay $1 million, and the government will take away $1 million and give it to the other person. If you don't go to a Beis Din and you go to court, and you lose the case, you can file an appeal. And if you lose the appeal, you can file another appeal and another appeal until you get to a certain point where it's over. So people, when they're dealing with big amounts of money, they don't want to go through Bezin because of this reason only.
I don't want to go. Let's see, it's RCA. I want this act.
So it's very complicated. It's very, very common. Every court basically is you're selecting each person. Each person has basically a lawyer. You're selecting your dayan, he's selecting his dayan, and then the two dayanim together, they based on their own selected dayan, where they come to agreement, who the third dayan, a mutual agreement, and that's the way it is. That's the way it is, and
but you can't force it.
You can force.
No, you cannot force
to go to. You have to come to an agreement. You have to come to an agreement with a specific bezdin. And then, if it's not going to work out, you need the bezdin to permit you, an official bezdin, a legitimate bezdin, to permit you to go to secular court. This is, yeah.
I don't know if you'll touch on it, but the situations where there's sexual abuse.
No, that's different. No, that's already different.
But I'm saying sometimes.
No, I'm not dealing. I'm not discussing that. I'm discussing here purely monetary disputes. We're not discussing that at all. Monetary disputes. You owe me a tenant, a landlord, a fender bender, all these type of things. It purely dine mimonos, nothing but mama, nothing but money. Sexual abuse, domestic abuse, all these type of things. That is an entirely different beast. Entirely different world, and that's a very complicated thing, and that's not for now. Next. Next, Allah Hamavazes Achacham Amivach Avalam Achacham Gelucham Ve'Evin Mazal Be'Rechem Be'Devin Sarim Ve'Inzach Lama Be'Devin Sarim Mishu Shalchu LeBezin Shluchim Ve'Kovel Lizmav LeBo Mishu Lekibul Loves Hadin. The person does not accept the din of the Bezin. Menadin Oysoy Actually, all of these things they put him in Nidui until he gives the money. Umishu Yesh Berushusu Dover Hamazik In Kelev Ra. A person has a Kelev Ra V'Sulam Ruua. He has a ladder that is dangerous. Your sidewalk is cracked. And someone can trip on the sidewalk. How you menadin or so he be put in nidui atche yosuas hahezik until he removes the damage. Hamaycha karka l'racha, you sell karka to a goy in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so you're not allowed to sell goy to a, you're not allowed to sell land in an Eretz Yisrael to a goy. Now what about in Flapush? You sell your home in a Haredi neighborhood, in a block of all shemitah mitzvos to a goy. Not so poshut, and they let it do that. If you have over here, people. I know a maisa here in this neighborhood, and someone, the highest bid was a Pakistani family. They wanted to give more money than the Jews. The on the block, everyone on the block is kemat shem shabbos. Everyone, maybe one or two not, and he wanted to sell his house. And there were many firm people. Not many firm people who wanted to buy, not an outrageous amount of money. They wanted to buy, and it was a Pakistani family who wanted to buy the house, and they were willing to give more money than everyone else was willing to give. And what was he planning to do with the house? He was either planning to move in 5 families. We're just going to have 1 family move and have 20 families. So you can imagine the neighbors would be very, very upset. Very upset, right in the middle of the block, to have all these, the whole family of Pakistanis. It could be nice people, and no one's telling that, but it's just whatever. It's not the right thing to do. But this guy, listen, is another $100,000 in my pocket.
So I'm
leaving. What do I care? I'm out of here. I'm going to Lakewood. Another $100,000 in my pocket. So I should be concerned about what I'm leaving over here. They're nice. The Pakistanis are not going to bother you. They don't bother you. So what? What? So what do you do? I don't know. It's a tough question. It's a tough question. It's not so simple. Why should you have to lose $100,000? It's not so simple. But over here, we're discussing selling karka in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael, that is forbidden. You're not allowed to sell property. Mech karka l'nochri to a goy. Menadin or Yisrael, shikabu lov kol oynish, shiyavol min anochri l'Yisrael chaveroi Baal HaMetzar, if any now he doesn't say to buy it back. Isn't it interesting? He doesn't say that we should punish you to buy it back from the guy. He says you put him in need until you accept upon yourself any damage that the non-Jew causes the Jew, you accept to pay. If he burns down your house, I'll pay. All of these things. Very interesting. I'll tell you interesting halach, something interesting that there was a Maisa that the church, I don't know how the halach came about. That the church gave a lot of money to a Jewish organization, real, not just a church, the real deal, the real religious, whatever, someone, and they ended up, however the story came about, they ended up giving to a shul, or giving, I don't remember the details, to a private person, money, for whatever it was about. So the person came to the rabbi, and he said to the rabbi, what should I use? They gave me this money, but it's a religious, it's a shul, we should use the money that came from this church. Yeah, technically it's mutter. You know, technically it's mutter, but still, it doesn't, we feel uncomfortable taking this donation, this amount of money. So the rabbi said, does your shul have a security system? Do you have cameras? Do you have an alarm? Do you have this? So he says, no, we don't have. We can definitely have an upgrade to our security for the locks. Says, use the money that they gave you for the security system, for the lights, for the cameras, and for the alarm system, because that's for them. Why do you need security? Who, you're afraid of the front people robbing the shul? You probably should be. Okay? But why do you have a security? Because you're afraid of the goyim. The goyim are going to vandalize the shul. So the money, the goyim gave you, use it for them. The goyim gave you the money, so the money they gave you, use for what you need them, what you need to protect yourself from them, for the security cameras, for the alarm system. And it was a very big chat. Security guard. The money you pay the security guard will come from the church, because we're guarding ourselves from the church, from the goyim.
Is not chilul Hashem.
Why is it chilul Hashem? They don't know what you're doing. They don't know. The shul's a $1 million budget. They don't know which money is allocated for what.
Budget. You should go stealing. Go get from the Christian.
That's stealing. The goyim gave a donation.
The shul has expenses.
Yes.
I say you should.
So designate the money that the church, the money.
That I help this shul, money is not nice.
They mean saying if the church is going to find out what I just said, it's not going to be nice. You're right. So you have to be careful they don't find out. You're right. You're right. You are correct. You got me. There's nothing more to discuss. Let's go further. You have to set points. They accept all the damages until and damages. Next, Hamed al Yisrael be'ar koyis shel nachrim. If you testify against your fellow Jew in a secular court, and your testimony is successful in having him pay money, v'hoytzi mimenu be'edusoy mamon sheloy kidin Yisrael menadin oso ad sheyishalem. What happens if you call for expert testimony? So you have to know what the case is. If you subpoena, what does it mean to be you're forced to testify? Is that the law?
Yes.
Is that also maybe then you have no choice? Then but let's say they're looking for expert. You're an expert in a certain field. You're a doctor. You're in a certain thing, and they're looking to hire someone to they're paying for expert testimony. Some people are in the business. They're running around the whole day, going to court, testifying. Testifying expert, so you want to volunteer. And the case is that your testimony will result in having other Jews, even not religious Jews, pay money. Are you allowed to testify voluntarily in order to be mechayev another person money? So he doesn't say here no. He writes here v'hotzi mimenu be'eduso mamon sheloy kedin Yisrael. This is a very big, he's touching upon a very big modern day question, is that when the secular courts, their judgment is equivalent, is acceptable even according to Jewish law. Okay, there are certain things that they do that are 100% keneged halacha. And then there are certain things that their decisions are in line with halacha. So where do you draw the line? What is also what is mutter? Is just the fact that the decision is handed down by a guy, that itself is a chilul Hashem? Or is it no, that the law that the guy is deciding is keneged the law of the Torah? What is the crux of the issue? Is the issue that it's a secular authority? Or is it that it's secular law? L'may nafkamina, a secular authority with a Jewish law. Okay, that's the issue. What about Eretz Yisrael? Okay, there it's a Jewish country, Jewish dayanim, and the dinim are not necessarily halacha. They are based on secular law, which is not what it says to do in the Torah. How do you deal with that situation? Is that called arkois? Are you allowed to go take your fellow citizen in Eretz Yisrael to court? So you're going to arkois. You go to the state court, so it's all Jews, it's a Jewish Medina, and the Dayanim are all Jewish, but the law that they're using to render the decision is not Torah law. So is that permitted? Is that a violation that you're deserving of nidui? What exactly is the issue? The Eile Hamishpatim Asher Tosim Lifnehem V'loy Mipnei Arkois. Is it the authority or is it the law? These are major questions to which there is no clear resolution, and every single situation is different. What? Jury duty you're allowed to, because you're not the one. You're not the one. It's Dina de Malchusa Dina. You're not the one that's suing. You're not the one that's taking the case. You're doing your duty as a citizen of the country, even if the people involved in the court case are Jews, and you're required to do so. Then Dina de Malchusa Dina. You're not going. You're just passive in this entire matter, and your logic, your decision is not considered. You're making a decision. It's a part of a duty that you have to as a citizen. So jury duty is permitted. There are different, not everything is different. Yeah, a murder case on a case capital punishment. There exists such a thing anymore, and I don't know. I'm sure there is somewhere in the country. You want to sit on a jury? There's a person should be executed. I don't know. Maybe that might be different. Maybe that might have a different status. But regular dine mamonos, it seems that it's...
Usually
those type of cases are very, very rare. The punishment is usually decided by the judge, not by the jury. It depends. There are many variables. I don't know. I really don't know. Are you allowed to be a judge? Okay, are you allowed to be are you allowed to serve as a judge? We should really get him to talk about this. Your friend, what's his name? He's out of commission now. What? He's out of commission. But when he comes back, what is his expertise?
He's in civil court.
Oh, that's really good. That's really good. Maybe we should get him. He must not have a lot of information about halacha. I'm sure he's been trained. I'm sure he asked many shilas. And he has what to say about this. Maybe one day you can ask him when he comes back.
A lot of judges said are Jewish.
He just had an operation.
I know. I know, when he comes back.
Who are you talking about?
Hidam is in the shul.
Who?
What's his name? Ostowski.
Well, you have a few judges that
Deer
are
judge.
Noach Deer. He's still a judge?
Yeah.
He's still a judge?
Yeah, I had books in.
You should get that woman. What's her name?
The
Chassidish woman. The Chassidish woman.
Ruchelman.
Ruchelman?
Ruchelman is another
one. Another one? All right. Okay, these they have must have very interesting shilas. I'm sure they have very, very good stories.
Oh,
yeah. Halachic stories. How to deal in the world of halacha and these issues. Let's go further. Next. Tabach Koyein, another halacha. Tabach Koyein. Now this is a very fascinating topic. We want to talk about it a little bit. Tabach Koyein she'emei mafresh matonis v'noisnon la'koyein acher. Today, do they give in the slaughterhouse the zeroya l'chayayim v'hakeva to a koyein? They do not. Why not? Because they couldn't make a profit if they did. So it's a big, big problem.
Don't they sell?
Yeah, so there's the Meichel, there's a Koyin Eretz Yisrael. What is going on in Eretz Yisrael also? In Eretz Yisrael, do they give the Matnas Kahuna? It's not a din in only the Zman Shabbos HaNeim. When you slaughter an animal, you have an obligation to give the Zeroya, the arm, the right arm, the Lechayayim, which means the tongue. You know how much that costs the tongue? The Lechayim is the tongue, it's one of the most expensive parts of the animal. Is that correct?
And the cheek.
The cheek includes the tongue. La halacha. The cheek includes the tongue. And the
cheek meat too.
But it includes the tongue. Could you imagine every time you slaughter an animal, you have to give one, what is it called? The zoya in one part of the animal is that? The arm.
The
right arm. The lechayayim is the cheek, which includes the tongue. Could you imagine every kohen gets a tongue and the keva is the fourth stomach? Something. What do they do with the fourth stomach? It goes to the garbage tray, right?
L'chaim,
I don't know if they eat it. If it's worth it. No, not this essence. There are four stomachs in an animal. The keres, the hemseis, the beis hakoseis, and the keva. The keva is the fourth stomach. It's right before the intestines. Right before, so that section. Now today, I don't think that today's that it's healthy. I don't think they sell
it. These things cost too much money to trade because they have a,
it's too much. It's not worth
labor
it.
Labor intensive.
They make it into animal food. It's
ridiculous.
Fertilizer, animal food. They give it away. So it's not okay that the cave, but those two things are nogea. Did you ever see a coin come home every day with a free with tongue with a whole tongue? Of course, how much a tongue cost? $50 more.
Yeah.
How much the tongue cost? A whole tongue.
Yeah, tongue and cheek.
$50, $60, $70, whole tongue today.
I don't know what the price is. Wholesale.
It's a lot of money.
A big difference. Okay. Selling tongue for $30 a
pound.
When you cook it,
when it's done. When it's
30%.
Yeah, yeah. But when you buy a raw.
Probably $8 a pound raw tongue.
So it'll come out to how much?
£3 approximately.
The cheek is 11, 12.
A tongue does weigh more than 3.5 pounds.
A pound.
No?
Cheeks.
No, not a raw tongue. A raw tongue, no.
Tongue sandwich.
I thought it was more.
11, 12
no, tongue, no. Once you cook it, it goes.
Yeah, once
less.
You cook it. Yes, I thought it costs more.
But when you pickle it.
Okay, but there's a halacha.
Make it into 6 pounds.
This is. You're going to hear about this in the future.
We have coin here. We have coin here. We have coin.
Yes.
Ask the coin.
Did you ever get a tongue? Did anyone ever give you a tongue? A tongue. No, give you a tongue. So you should go to the OU and tell them you want the tongue. I'm here for the tongue. So what do they do? Bizman Hazeb in Yerushalayim, in the Beis Din, there were Kohanim who supposedly represented the Kohanim of the whole Yerushalayim. They wrote a shtar. They gave the Beis Din gave them a few dollars, and they wrote a shtar mechila. And they did this, it was renewed. I think they still do this. Every year, they renew the shtar. There's a Beis Din. Wright gives them a couple of bucks. And they write a shtar, Mechila, the Moichel, the Matnois Kuhuna. In America, do they do this? I don't know. I really don't know. I read about this. We have to redo this, review this again. So this is what is done. So there have been people today have come along. And why do they do this? Because if you're going to give away the tongue and the Zroi L'chaim, then there's going to be no profit whatsoever. The whole meat industry will shut down very quickly. So it was a necessary evil for the Kohanim to be moichel on their rights, on the Matnos Kohuna, the Zroi, in order that everyone should have meat. Everyone, the whole Klal Yisrael should have meat, because there wouldn't be no profit. It wouldn't work. Today, people today, it was about 2-3 years ago, there was a person came from Eretz Yisrael, and he made a very big stink about this. And the OU gave him an audience, and the OU, they brought down, they all were there, it was written up, and they actually produced a kuntras. I have it at home, a kuntras on this, on what happened, and the whole record of what happened. Rabbi Ganak, I don't know if Rabelski was there then, I think, I don't remember all the details. And he basically presented his case that time has come. The time has come where the OU has to give Ma'anas Kahuna. They have to change the system. I don't know. I don't know if he was a Kohen. I don't know. And all I remember is that they didn't really have what to say. That's what I remember. Is that like they didn't have really a good answer why they don't do it. This is like, been grandfathered in from hundreds of years ago.
They don't have a real Beis Din.
They put the kind of part on of this.
All these kunsim, it's a real problem. No one is denying that it's a real problem. And there are solutions. The solutions that have been done back in the day were solutions that were necessary because people needed to eat what to eat. They couldn't survive, and there were leniencies that were used, and they still are used. They're forgotten about. like the world just continues to operate the same way it was years ago. And there are people today that are trying to say, you know, times have changed, it's a problem, and the solutions of the past are not solutions for today, and this has to be revisited and has to be dealt with in a responsible way. And I don't think there's a resolution yet. I do know that the OU did take it very, very seriously. They did take this issue very seriously, and they actually published something. They published something to address, and we have to bring that to look into this, Google it. No, this is not. This halacha, look what it says in Shulchan Aruch, in the Rambam. The manas kuhun have nothing to do with the Beis HaMikdash. The zeroya ve'halachayim ve'akeva are things that have to be given to every time you slaughter an animal, it has to be given to the Kohanim. Lidoroisechem, for all generations. And the only reason why the Kohanim are not coming to the men is because there's an assumption that the Kohanim are moichel. They're moichel, they forgive, they're moichel. And years ago in Yerushalayim, they actually put their mechila in writing in exchange for money. The Kohanim were given a gift, a few dollars, and they were moichel. Why were they moichel? Is because the shoichtim, the butchers, could not make a parnasa if they would have to give every single animal, they would have to give away the zeroya, the halachayim, the akeva. It would make, they would have no profit from selling meat. And
well,
that
the price would
have
to go up on the meat.
And it would be impossible. The situation would not be possible. So they were moichel. They were moichel. Today, is it really true that first of all, today in America, who's moichel? Today the whole thing has gotten out of hand. Who's moichel? There are many kohanim today that are not moichel. They're not moichel. What? Oh, that's one of the answers. Now you're bringing back memories. You're bringing back memories. So one of the answers was, you're bringing back all the memories that I have a kuntres. One of this is that you say, oh, we have no true kohanim yuchasim today. This fellow, he took that svara, and did he rip it to shreds? He ripped it to shreds. You know, there's no shredder machine in the world that ripped to shreds that answer like what he did. He basically said there's something called chazaka. This idea that no kohanim, you know, when it's all theoretical, why don't we offer the Karban Pesach b'zman hazeh? You don't need a Beis HaMikdash to bring a Karban Pesach. You don't need to just go to the place where you bring. So that, oh, because there are no kohanim yuchasim. Listen, anyway, when the day is over, we're anyway not bringing the Karban Pesach. So you want to go throw into the mix that there are no kohanim yuchasim. All right, you can get away with saying it. When you want to do pidyon haben, well, you don't do pidyon haben. You see people running around and doing a pidyon haben to every single person because the pidyon haben was not according to yuchas. You don't say that. Gedoyla chazaka. There's a principle called chazaka. If you have a presumption that you are a kohen, it starts and stops right there. Period. And you prove this. You saw it 100 times over. The answer. The reason why Bizman Hazel we don't give Zeroya L'Choyayim V'Akeva is because of no Karam Yuchasim is not an answer.
So could he cut the Kayim? So he could come and just take it?
Ilchor, yeah. And so that was one of the things of the OU. They used, the whole thing was recorded. They said there's no Kayanim. And they didn't answer him back. He said that's not an answer. That's not an answer. Gedoy L'Chazaka. And they accepted that. So the question is, Sotaka, so why don't you give? Another answer. So there are popular answers. I don't remember. We'll try to review this again at some time. And it's a very big problem. There's no question about it. Traditionally, there was mechila. Today, who says there's mechila? Today, the industry has changed. It's a different world. How indeed would it affect the meat industry today if you would have to give the zroya lichoyayim v'hakev? The cave is worthless. The zroya is not really all that much. What exactly is the lichayim? Is it really the full cheek? The full tongue? It has to be revisited to analyze what's going on. Bizman hazeh. You'll probably hear more about this. As time goes on, you'll hear more and more about this. As we come closer to Mashiach, now let's over here. He writes over here that if a person does not give a tabach, I want to finish up. It's very, very late. A tabach koyin she'ina mafresh manus v'noisim l'koyin does not give the matonis. she'enoi mafresh a tabach koin, she'enoi mafresh matnois, umnois l'makonache. The halacha is, the koin also is obligated to give the matnas kahuna to another koin. If you are a koin that's a butcher, you take out the zeroya l'choyayim v'hakeva, and you give it to another butcher. A mayor, that was your answer. That was your solution, right?
Yeah,
our mayor said that you make a koin a shutif in the business. Right. Well, clearly he disagrees with that answer. He holds there's no such halacha. We have to look at other rishonim. Maybe other rishonim disagree with the Tevech Hasidim.
Make a goy.
Maybe that's a solution in a chanami. But he says over here that if just because you're a koyein, that's not an excuse, because one koyein has to give to another koyein. Ad kidei kach minadin oisoy ad sheyitain. He's put in nidui. Okay, so this is another one of the 24 examples. We have to stop here, take a short break. We'll continue a little later tomorrow. Short break.
Yeah. Doesn't only two cheeks without the
tongue. No, the lechayim in halach includes the tongue. That's what I learned. Maybe I'm wrong. What I remember learning is the lechayim, you have to go and see the sources. It includes the tongue.
Cheek meat is $15 a pound.
Tongue and cheek. Tongue and cheek. They sell cheek meat?
They sell cheek meat. Cheek meat costs less than $2 a pound, but after you trade for it, you got to get at least $12, $13 a pound. That's how difficult it is to trade for it. It's very labor intensive.
I was present.
Yeah, you got to do it. Yeah.
Rubber stamp.
Well, they don't look, not a rubber stamp, but they're looking, they'll say, oh, give him this, and you'll,
to go to the desk, tell him I want to go to the
desk. But we sat down before the first day, and I sent him, I didn't want to stamp.
Did you exercise for the day?
That's correct. He never answered.
Yeah, you're not allowed to do it. The best. School wouldn't let you do it.
I went to him after he gave me tough time. I see.
I have tongue and cheek.
I like it. You went to the best dinner?
I went afterwards. I wanted to ask him why he didn't go.
He couldn't
go because he was only going to leave the show.
He filed? He refiled the report? Civil court?
He filed. Yeah, before the
report. Vanish filed the report. So then after you sell the best, he dropped the whole thing.
You could do whatever. We didn't sell the best. We sell the outside of the best.
But so you just went to Bezdin in order to go to civil court?
No, he walks out.
Well,
no. He filed it then in civil court.
Yes.
Then he told him anything.
He walked out with his kids.
Before, in between, you know, after.
Privately he settled.
Privately.
But he already filed in court.
The lawyers came to it.
Was he related?
Right? Really, I can't relate. Nothing at all. That he went there. You know,
wow.
I'm sure that the guy from Boston didn't give him that.
Until 2005, in Israel, they weren't aware, no one did anything about it.
Yeah.
And then the Rabbanut got involved.
Yeah.
And then he brings that.
What did they do, Rabbanut?
One of the things, they're working on it, still working on it. But one of the things, the time that they have it is. The shakas are Meisim Chavera all over
Raya. So you're not calling Mukhsa?
Yeah, you have to
get it. That was the whole booklet I have. He said it's total stuff.
Yeah, he goes,
I'm a Kohen. I'm a Kohen.
Prove it.
I don't have to. If I prove it, I have 2 minutes that somebody getting Aliyah as a Kohen Shul, that's all I need. And the only reason accepted that. The only